Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. Every time we have an opportunity to assemble ourselves and you take advantage of that, I believe it's something that God will use to draw you closer to Him. And every opportunity we have to worship the Lord, we need to take advantage of that for sure. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Sunday nights we've been going through and we've been teaching on little known Bible characters and just studying the Bible characters as found in the Word of God. If it's in the Word of God, it's more than just a story, it's more than just literature. It's the very words of an Almighty God who has preserved it for us to read and study and learn from it. And so every word in this Bible has meaning to it, and there's biblical principles found throughout the entire Bible that we can apply to our living conditions and whatever it is that we're facing in life. And it's just a blessing to have the Word of God to look to and to draw from. And so we've been going back and forth. We've been going to the Old Testament and studying a little-known Bible character that has a powerful message for us. And we go to the New Testament. And so tonight we're here in Luke in chapter 18. Something a little bit different tonight, but I think it fits right into the series that we're in on Bible characters. This is actually a parable describing two Bible characters, and they kind of offset one another. It's something that God is wanting us to use in comparison, so I'm going to bring them both out tonight and look at these two Bible characters that Jesus Christ reveals to us in this parable. And so if you'll stand with me tonight, Luke chapter 18, we're going to be reading, starting in verse 9 and down, reading down to verse 14. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, we thank you for just Sundays, a day that you've set aside and revealed it to be the Lord's day, a day of worship and praise. A day that we can assemble together as your church, as you have instructed us to do so on the very first day, Resurrection Day, and be able to worship you, and to be able to draw from the church services that which you have for us, to feed us and to strengthen us spiritually. Thank you for the precious Word of God and for the command to preach the Word of God. So I pray tonight, God, that you would just once again meet with us. I pray that you'd help each one of us to stay focused on what you have for us as individuals and help us to stay focused on what you have for us as a church family. Bless now the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. A parable that is somewhat known. I don't know that it's well known. And these two particular characters, which are just called a Pharisee and a publican, and in this particular passage of Scripture, it's just in this parable. And so I think it fits right into little-known Bible characters that have a great message for us. And so I think that we, as we look at these two characters, I think there's a message there for us to glean from tonight. It was a religious but lost sinner. That's basically what the Pharisees were. And we'll describe that just a little bit more in just a few minutes here. But basically, religious but really lost and yet sinners. They just don't want to acknowledge themselves as being sinners. And then a known sinner. Everyone knew the publicans were sinners and in this biblical Bible days. And so we have this religious but lost sinner and a known sinner, this Pharisee and a publican. Christ reveals that both went into the temple to pray. Verse 10, it says, two men went up to the temple to pray. And then it says, the Pharisee and the other, a publican. And so he's revealing this parable to us and describing these two as two that for whatever reason, whatever's going on in their life, they want to approach God. They want to approach God. The one, somewhat out of religion, would not really be approaching the very same God that we would serve today, or those that have received Christ as their Savior. But I believe the publican, truly understanding who he was and who God was, had a desire to approach God. Two totally different views. One exalted himself, and the other, the one that Christ reveals actually met with God, is through a humble approach, a very humble approach. And as we study these two again, I think we want to examine their views to see if our view is what it should be. It's in the Bible. God's given it to us, this parable, this view of these two men, and quite opposite. But as we look at this, I wonder where we fit into this. And just where our views in approaching God and how we deal with others, how we see ourselves in relation to others. How does God see that in our walk with Him? Well, the Pharisee in verses 11 and 12 reveals that, now the Pharisees was a religious, a Jewish religion during this time, this Bible days. It was a sect that had made the Old Testament law an unreasonable and unscriptural system of legalism, basically what they were doing, and ignored the spiritual meaning that God intended them to receive from the Old Testament law. Now, Jesus was here to reveal the meaning of the Old Testament law. Jesus was here to reveal all the mysteries of the Old Testament. He was here to help the people to understand why we had the Old Testament, the Old Testament laws and all that. But that the Pharisees had already examined it, and then they turned it into something that would benefit them in religion. Now, Jesus, that's what he was battling more than anything else, was these religious Pharisees during the time of that he was on planet Earth some 2,000 years ago. And so, again, we find this is one of the reasons for this particular parable. But they were rejected by Christ. And there's much in the Gospels concerning the rejection of the Pharisees. First of all, they were rejected for their fulfillment or their understanding and their presentation of the fulfillment of prophecy. They rejected Christ. They rejected the teachings of Christ, and they wanted to hold on to their pharisaical, legalistic ideas and laws. John chapter 5, look over there with me, we find that Jesus somewhat addresses this in several places in the Bible, but I want to take you to just a few tonight. John chapter 5 and verse 39. And Jesus was dealing with this mentality of the religious Jews and religious Pharisees of the day. And in this particular passage, he says this in John chapter 5 and verse 39, "Search the Scriptures." Now, what he's referring to is the Old Testament. They don't have the completion of the Bible. They don't have the New Testament Scriptures yet. Jesus is presenting those. When he was here, he presented the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy in the New Testament Scriptures. He spoke the New Testament Scriptures. And so we find here, it says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." If you truly look at the Bible and you understand what the Old Testament was presenting to us, he said, you'll find there that they testify of me, the coming of the Messiah. "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." If you really look at the Bible, if you really want to know God, and if you want to know God's plan of salvation, then you have to look at the Scriptures, truly receive what God has for us through the Scriptures. And if you do that, and you will come to me, but you will not do this, you will not come to me that ye might have life. "I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you." Now, he is God, and he sees inside of individuals. He knows what's going on. "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, the writer of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, in whom you trust. The very words that you're taking and twisting around for your own benefit is the very words that God's going to use to bring conviction into your life and going to judge you by the very words that you have turned around. How often people today, and even in this New Testament church age, now that we have the truth of Christ, we have the fulfillment of the revelation of the Word of God, and yet they want to twist the Scriptures around to make it say what they want it to say. And they think this is serving God. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So we find here that this religious Pharisee, Jesus is rejecting him, and we can find exactly his mentality there as we read in verse 11 and 12. And look what he's done with this mentality. If he's twisted around, he has made this a system of legalistic ideas and understanding, has turned from the truth of the Word of God. And because of this, this is how he approached God. He said, verse 11 to 12, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God says he wasn't really talking to me. Jesus saw that he was not really talking to God. He was just talking to himself, but using God's name. Amen. Making it look like that he was teaching and preaching and doing what God would say to do. He says, the Pharisees talk with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Trying to elevate himself with the things that he was doing. Now, what he was saying there and what he was doing was really what New Testament Christianity is all about. What New Testament Christianity is all about is doing these things and not being extortioners, not being unjust, not being adulterers, fasting, yes, giving tithes, yes, all the different things that he was saying he was doing. But the key to understanding that this man was not acknowledging God but exalting himself is when he said, not like this publican. Or even as this publican. That just totally gave a different meaning to what he was saying. Jesus rejected them for rejecting the fulfillment of prophecy and the teachings of Christ. We find that the Scriptures also reject the Pharisees for changing God's word to agree with their own man-made traditions. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Not careful, we find this pharisaical mentality even in good churches today. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Now, it's not the leadership of the church, it's not how the church is being directed, it wouldn't be a good church. But sometimes you do find this mentality. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now again, that's their own. They've taken it. They've made this of their own religious conviction. And they are making a big scene over this with others. But he answered and said to them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. See, they're turning around for their own benefit, not learning the biblical principle that was established by this Old Testament law. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your own tradition. You're taking the word of God and you're making it of none effect because you're not applying it correctly. And we have to be careful how we apply the word of God. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. They're really not seeking the truth in God. They just have accepted this religious system that they've developed. He says, but in vain. That's not going to get you a communication with God. But in vain they do worship me, because for doctrines, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. My goodness. How important it is for us to know why we believe what we believe. How important it is for us not to just take a man's word for it, not to just blindly follow a denomination, but truly search out the Scriptures to know exactly what God would have us to know. And not only to search out the Scriptures and study the things of the Old Testament, but study the very words of Christ and the example of Christ, which is an example of Christianity for us today. The Pharisees were also rejected for their hypocritical judgment of others. And that's what really comes into play with this Pharisee in this parable, the Pharisee and the publican. There again, go back to our text in Luke in chapter 18. Verse 11. Wants to exalt himself by saying and presenting all the good things that he's doing. He even says, God, I thank thee. I remember many years ago in a praise service, we were supposed to be finding a verse of thanksgiving to God and standing up and being able to read that verse and then give a praise. Well, you could tell that somebody that was there that day, instead of really looking at the meaning of the Scriptures, they just found the word thank you. And they, and they stood up and they read that verse and then wanted to present what they were thankful for. I don't know, it just went over their head evidently, but I remember that clearly, thinking that is not the verse you want to use if you're trying to really give thanks to God in a praise night service. Because that was not what he was doing. He was just saying that, but that is not what he was doing. He was praying to himself and using God's name and said, I thank thee. And then presented himself. But then, as I said, all these things were right. These are things we ought to avoid. But where he went wrong, and this affected his whole worship, his whole mentality of worshiping God, that I'm not like this publican. And I'm thinking, is there times we might look around and truly think it's right for me to thank God that I'm not like so-and-so? And do I judge people to that place? The judgment of others. He might not have been guilty of any of these sins, but can I tell you, his heart was not right with God. And it was revealed in his comparing himself with others. I think we ought to thank God for, by his grace, I'm not guilty of one of these sins. Only by the grace of God, I'm not living a life as a thief. Only by the grace of God, I'm not living my life as an adulterer. Only by the grace of God, I've come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and by the grace of God, he has mercifully given me strength to overcome certain sins. That is good. Praise the Lord for that. We ought to be thankful for the grace of God that enables us to live righteously. But it's not to be compared to others. Many times people judge others to make themselves feel more spiritual. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think the Bible warns us of this. I think this is something that we need to learn from this parable. Look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. We are not to compare ourselves to others and use others as a measuring stick But we are to look to the words of God. We are to look to the Bible, which instructs us on how we are to live life, and compare ourselves to the Word of God to see how we're doing, if you will. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 12, it says this, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you," the Scriptures, if you will. "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without or measure, that is, of the other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hands. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." We have the Word of God. We have the example of anyone, the Lord Jesus Christ, and looking to Christ and following His example and looking to the Word of God to be able to know what is right and what is wrong. If we are living a life in comparison to others and we use this to judge how we're doing, there's great danger in that. When comparing yourself to someone who is godly, you might get discouraged. By saying, looking to somebody and saying, look at that individual and praising God for godly testimonies. I'm not saying that, but comparing yourself and thinking that I cannot ever achieve what that person has achieved. That person is so godly, I can never be like that individual. And if you're not careful, instead of looking to the grace of God to help you to be all that you can be, and you're comparing yourself with that person that God does not want you to compare yourself to, you might get discouraged and thinking, I can never be that person, and so why try? And many times people, when they get discouraged and thinking, I can never attain to what I need to attain, and that person there and that individual, if I can't reach that, then why even try? And they get discouraged. And they go ahead and then yield to their own sins and whatever, thinking, well, I can never be that individual. God didn't ask you to be that person. You don't know that individual, first of all, like you think you might know that individual. I've had people come to the church and I visited them, and she said, they've told me this oftentimes. They said, preacher, I just feel so unspiritual because everybody in the church is so spiritual. And inside I'm thinking, I only wish that were the case. But they do. They come to the church and they see everybody here and the worship and everything. And they think, well, that's how they are all the time. And praise the Lord, it ought to be what we strive to be all the time. Amen. But when people come in, listen to me, they realize that this is something new to them. And they look around and say, I can never obtain that. I cannot be that. Listen, that is not what you want to use to judge yourself with. You need to look to the Word of God. And you need to let the Spirit of God lead you to be all that you can be. And if you continue to look to God, and when you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, yield to the conviction and confess and forsake that sin. Listen to me, we will never get to the place where we are sinless. But we ought to be on a road to sinning less and less. My desire, no matter where you're at when you get saved, is to get my life turned around and look into God and start making some changes in my life and sinning less this week than I did last week. Sinning less this year than I did last year, amen? And continue to look to God, to being all that God wants me to be. And if you're looking to Him and to relying upon His help and His grace and His mercy and His strength, you can be. At this point, what God wants you to be. Now, it might not be what you're going to be next year, but it's what God wants you to be this year. Amen. I guarantee you, I've been pastoring. I've been in the ministry for 35 years. I've been preaching. I guarantee if you would have listened to some of the sermons that I preached 35 years ago, you would not think that that's the same preacher that's preaching today. Although if I would have seen somebody who'd been in the ministry for 35 years and had to judge myself by that and surrender to the ministry, I would have never surrendered to the ministry. Wouldn't have done it. But I didn't look to someone else. I was encouraged by other men and I was helped by other men, but I looked to Christ and said, God, help me to be what you want me to be. Amen. Mold me and make me as a potter molds and makes the clay into what God wants it to be. Don't get caught up in this judging others, comparing yourself with somebody else. Whether it's comparing yourself with somebody that is spiritual, learn from that individual, be encouraged by that individual, but don't judge yourself according to that other individual. When comparing yourself to someone who is evil, which most of the time that is the rule, when comparing yourself to someone who is evil, you might feel more spiritual than you ought to feel. You look at that person and you say, well, my sin's not that bad. Listen to me. Yes, it is. Don't belittle your sin by trying to find somebody who is a greater sinner than what you are. The world will do that. You knock on doors and talk to people about the Lord. Well, at least I've never murdered. I'm going to heaven because I've never murdered anybody. And I'm not a drunkard. I don't beat my wife. I've not done this and I've not done that. Listen to me. That does not determine whether you go to heaven or not. That does not determine your spirituality. Your spirituality is determined by your walk with God. And so, yes, no matter what your sin is, just because somebody else is a greater sinner than you does not take away the severity of your sin. You're still a sinner. And when you come under the conviction of that sin, confess that sin. Turn away from it. But you see, if you're not careful, you don't want to turn away from that sin, so you'll find somebody else to judge and you'll feel better about yourself. And you should never feel better about yourself if you're living in sin. I don't want people to come to this church service and hear the preaching of the Word of God and go out and feel better about living in sin. No. I want people to come into this service and sense the presence of God and have the Holy Spirit of God speak to them individually about their sin and get them to the place where they will confess and forsake that sin, no matter how great or how little that sin might seem to them. If it's sin, it's sin. And if you're under conviction, confess and forsake it. Don't justify it by comparing it with someone else. Praise God for the righteous and pray for the ungodly, but don't compare. I love that. Praise God for the righteous. Pray for the ungodly. But don't let either one, though, determine your walk with God. Judgment of others. The sin of the Pharisee. That was one view. The other view was that of the publican. Go back with me, and we're just about done, but go back with me. Let's study this for just a couple minutes here. Luke in chapter 18, verse 13. So now we have the view of this Pharisee, religious but lost. Now we have the view of a publican, a known sinner. Verse 13. And the publican. A publican was a tax collector for the Roman government. The rest of the Jews looked to them as Benedict Arnolds, if you will. Of course, they didn't know who he was, but they would have looked to him. If they knew who he was, they would have. As a traitor. And because of what they were going to do, the very job, the task that they had to do, lent itself to being dishonest and taking advantage. So they were known. A publican was a tax collector for the Roman government. They were known to be dishonest. Therefore, they were classed as sinners, hated by the Jews. Jesus didn't hate him. Zacchaeus was a publican. And when he got saved, changed his life. Matthew, when God used to write the book of Matthew, was a publican. Changed his life when he looked to Christ. So we find here, the Bible says, the publican, standing afar off. When this publican sought after God, he didn't think of himself as being worthy to come into God's presence. When you view yourself in relationship with God, and even what you're doing, do you see yourself as doing so much that God is so ought to be so pleased and proud to have you serving Him? Do you see yourself, because of what I do, I deserve special benefits? I ought to have this and this, and I ought to have more than that person, because again, that person over there is not doing what I'm doing, and they're not accomplishing what I'm accomplishing. And if you're not careful, you'll get into that very same pharisaical attitude in comparing yourself with somebody else. That's not what this publican did. This publican did not even think that he was worthy of coming into the very presence of God. Did not think that he deserved anything from God. And listen to me. That's exactly how we ought to approach God. Because when you see yourself for who you really are, and you see God for who He truly is, wow, you won't think you deserve anything from a holy, righteous God. Not deserving, but being very thankful for whatever God would allowed me to do. Very thankful. Whew. I thank God that for my life, for the call to the ministry. It's not no one can truly understand the pastorate aside from another pastor. There's so much in there. And that's something that you have to keep between you and the Lord in so many different ways. I'm so thankful that God's allowed me to serve Him in that capacity. Because not only, I mean, there's a lot of tough things, there's a lot of pressures, there's a lot of things that go along with that, but there are so many blessings associated in serving God in whatever area that He's going to call you into, if you see it as something that is a privilege. If you see it as something that God is allowing you to do for Him. This publican was that way. Didn't think of himself as being worthy to come into God's presence. Yeah. He stood afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. And not only did he do that, look what else he does, but smote upon his breast. This represents godly sorrow, which leads to repentance. He saw himself as a sinner that he is, and he smote upon his breast and saying, I'm not worthy, but God, I want to come into your presence. I want to be used as an instrument in your hand. I want to have a relationship with you. Smote upon his breast was a sign of repentance. The same as putting sackcloth on. That's a sign of repentance. But the thing that I love most about this publican, and he said, God, be merciful to me. Mercy is withholding of deserved punishment. He knew he deserved punishment. But God was offering mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The thing that I see about these two, the comparison more than anything else, he was not looking to compare himself with anyone. He simply acknowledged God and cried out for mercy. I think we get ourselves in trouble by comparing ourselves with ourselves, from amongst ourselves. I think the message here was addressing that. Individually, stand before an almighty God, just as this publican, not thinking yourself to be worthy, not thinking yourself deserving anything, but presenting yourself as a sinner, ready and willing to confess and forsake whatever God would convict me of, that I might walk with him. Two men, two different views. The question is, which one do you mostly identify with? I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What a powerful message from these two little known Bible characters. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.